Cultivo Raíces presenta su programa
Espejos de Aztlán.
Información,
arte,
cultura.
Bienvenidos.
From the deepest corner of Latin America, we enter the digital world. Access into the digital age modifies, creates feedback and opens new perspective on art and folklore in Latin America. To sample, we need a window. Well, Sisa Tuaquiza, Flor de los Andes, Flower of the Andes, an indigenous singer, Eticua, from the Ecuadorian highlands, shows how access to the internet and digital media permits an artist to reach a global audience from the farthest reaches of our American continent. Today on Espejos de Aztlán, we present the Digital Latin America Symposium that is scheduled for June the 7th and the 8th in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It is organized by 516 Arts in collaboration with the Albuquerque Museum of Art and History, the National Hispanic Cultural Center, and the University of New Mexico. Our guests today are Teresa Buscemi, Program Coordinator of 516 Arts, UNM professors Drs. Enrique Lamadrid and Miguel Gandert. Para Espejos de Aztlán, soy Cristina Bachi. Desde los más recónditos rincones de Latinoamérica se accede de a poco a la era digital. El acceso a la era digital modifica, retroalimenta y abre nuevas perspectivas para el arte y el folclore en Latinoamérica. Para muestra hace falta un botón, dice un refrán, pues Sisa Tuaquiza, Flor de los Andes, una cantante indígena ticua del interior andino de Ecuador, es una muestra de cómo el acceso a los recursos tecnológicos y a la red global permite a los artistas acceder a más gente desde los rincones más lejanos de nuestras tierras. Hoy en Espejos de Aztlán les presentamos la propuesta del Digital Latin America Symposium que tendrá lugar los días 7 y 8 de junio en Albuquerque, New Mexico. Buenas tardes, estamos aquí con Miguel Gandert, Enrique Lamadrid y Teresa Buscemi. This afternoon we are having a special on Espejos de Aztlán about the symposium Digital Latin America. Welcome everybody.
Thank you.
I'm very curious about this topic, Digital Latin America, and I guess our listeners as well. But let's begin with this Latin American digital music that you, Enrique, and Miguel began.
Miguel and I went to Ecuador in the spring of 2013 to set up a new program. UNM used to work a lot in Ecuador, and they asked us to get stuff going again down there for a number of different programs and departments, including planning and biology and Spanish and Portuguese and honors and
interdisciplinary film and digital media.
Thank you, Miguel. UNM's really good at that.
Anyway. How is in this complex program, Sisa Tuaquiza, La Flor de los Andes, how is she ending in that area?
Yeah, we learned about Sisa because when we were in Ecuador, we picked one of the new highways. There's so many new, beautiful new, nicely engineered highways, and we had to get down to the coast. We had to go down to Manabí, and instead of going through Santo Domingo de los Colorados, we decided to go through La Tacunga, which goes straight to La Libertad and these other areas. And Anyway, we got lost, but that's part of that story. So the highways don't go everywhere yet. But we were surprised to see that the highway went right by Tiwa. I had no idea where Tiwa was. It's a small town. It's a very famous town because a whole kind of artwork of, I guess, naive Andean folkloric artwork comes out of Tiwa. They're the little paintings that you can
They're
pick
paintings
up.
They're on leather, essentially, and it's a really traditional. It's a wood frame backed with leather, and I have a painting from 40 years ago, and so we decided we'd stop at this gallery.
Yeah. And from all these folk traditional side of this countryside of the Ecuador country, how all this digital music is coming from that area?
Well, that's what surprised us, because we went in to see this gallery way up in this town. It must have been way above 12,000 feet. And there's potato fields and habas, fava bean fields, and llamas and sheep and stuff. And so we stopped to look at the artwork, and I was familiar with it, and the people gave us these CDs of their daughter, Sisatuakisa. And we were kind of blown away with her music. It's very lively music. It has many traditional elements, yet it's all completely done with new instruments, with keyboards, with bands, and the same Pasacalles and San Juanitos that you will hear in the local fiestas have become part of the pop music of the Andes.
Let's listen a little bit of Sisa, and we'll come back with more music and more about Digital Latin America, this symposium that it will be held this next week. Entonces, Enrique Lamadrid, ¿cuál es la canción que acabamos de escuchar?
Bueno, hemos escuchado a Sisatuakisa cantando uno de los primeros éxitos. This is one of Sisatuakisa's first hits. Sisatuakisa means Florecita Andina, and in English, the Little Flower of the Andes. That's actually her name, and it's also her stage name. And she sang bilingually in Spanish and in Quechua a song called Sumac Ñawisita, and the translation of that is Solterita, or Young Unmarried Woman. And she dedicates the song to all of the solteras, all of the unmarried young women in her area, and she addresses what they're up against. You know, she's in the song. She's saying, don't worry, you're beautiful. Someone will notice you. Someone will find you. You will find a mate. You will find someone who appreciates you. Don't worry. There's a lot of men around who aren't going to appreciate you. Interestingly enough, she uses some kind of despective words in the song, like longo. Longo is kind of a nasty word for Indian guy. And she also uses the word borracho, and she says, don't get mixed up with these abusive guys. Don't worry. Just come to the fiesta and dance. And, of course, this music is based on traditional Ecuadorian fiesta music. These are pasillos and pasacalles and the type of dance music that you get in the fiestas. And, of course, it's part of it is digitized on keyboards, and whenever she can afford it, she hires a whole orchestra just like you would hear in a village fiesta in the Andes.
Esta es la música tradicional de nuestro pueblo. Música milenaria, llamado el yunga o yumbada. Fiestas de nuestros hombres sabios que hoy reivindicamos para el Ecuador y el mundo entero. Tu amiga, Sisa Tokis.
How do you find this folk music coming in this kind of more electronic folk music from the places you were going and visiting? How did you choose this to bring to the Digital Latin America Symposium?
Well, one of the things that's really important to realize is that digital languages become global. Enrique described how we were visiting the gallery of Sisa Tokisa's family, and they're up high in the Andes at 17,000 feet. But you find her presence in digital media, and I think that's what's an amazing thing now. Is, you know, it's not like we cannot find her if you really wanted to look. She's on YouTube. She's on Twitter. That's how you book her accounts. She's got this really, in a sense, the possibilities of a global presence that would not have been available to an indigenous musician. Also on her CD, she plays some covers of more famous songs that we might know. And with these covers, you get this sense that not only is she aware of what's going on in the external world, but then with the remaining fidelity to the indigenous music, using drum machines and beats and digital ways of processing, she's also very, very aware of the world in a sense, and knows that her message can get out through digital media. She's probably got 15 songs on YouTube, and that's one of the things we'll be looking at. Like any other thing that's out on the internet now, the challenge is how do you get through the noise? her challenge, like any other artist, is how do you get through that noise to get people to listen to you worldwide? Because she at least now has the tools to get out there. And at the end of every video, there's how to contact her via Twitter, via Facebook, and then you can hire her for gigs. And so it's just a remarkable presence that indigenous musicians wouldn't have had. There might have been one or two groups that were traveling throughout the world, although you saw musicians from, especially from Ecuador, with the panpipes in Peru and in, you know, parks and markets everywhere. Now, this is now a computer presence, and I think that's what's so compelling about her. You see the way she dresses as indigenous, her costumes. We get a sense of her that's different from just having a CD or a record that is the way it used to be.
Describe her dress, since we're on the radio. She is dressed in the manner of a traditional indigenous woman from central Ecuador. They're like uniforms almost. They wear little fedora type hats, and in this particular area in the province of Cotopaxi, in the canton of Pujilí, in the village of Tiwa, in this whole general area, the women wear kind of greenish felt hats with a beautiful peacock feather stuck in the brim. They wear polleras, which are long embroidered skirts. They also wear something they call a chalina, which is a shawl, and Sisa has some very beautiful ones. Around here, in the pueblos, you see them here. Some of them are very old. A lot of them are from Manila in the old days, these silk shawls and so on. When she dances around, there's circular movements in the dances, and there's footwork, and you see all of this, of course, on her videos, and it's quite beautiful. She situates it right in her village. There'll be a herd of llamas in the background. You can see the cornfields going down the valley in these spectacular landscapes, and she is presenting her indigenous culture to the world with a lot of pride, and it's just amazing to see this going back to Ecuador many, many years after the last time I was there. She's really a product of what we call the Pachacutic. The Pachacutic is the indigenous revolution in Ecuador, and she was born in 1993. The big indigenous, the biggest demonstrations and national strikes were in 1992. And she's a child of this. And to get into the next cut, which Miguel will tell us about, her father, we don't know the circumstances, but you see it in his paintings. He was jailed. He was jailed, I think, for his role in the indigenous movement. And so she did a song about a daughter looking for her father who's incarcerated.
¿Quién?
Soy Sisa Toaquiza. Por favor, quiero visitar a mi padre. Está detenido aquí en el penal García Moreno.
Está bien, un momento.
Llorando
we were listening right now a special song by SZA. Why is this so special, this song?
Well, there, you know, in 1992, there was literally an indigenous revolution for the Cuarto Centennial. And I bought a painting by Tisa's father. I mean, it was like one of the main reasons we stopped at the gallery. And it had Rumiñahui, who was the last of the Inca emperors. And it has indigenous people fighting the military and the politicians in this small painting that I'll show at the conference. And this is about the more personal relationships. It's a song about politics. It's a song about oppression. It's a song about her father being jailed, which would have been the common thing at that time before 1992. An indigenous person put into jail could just disappear. And so there's very much a song of you know, asserting an identity, addressing a problem, and looking at real issues with this incredible pop beat. And that's what the song's about. It's about, you know, a craving, a way of just trying to say social justice is still an issue and it's alive. And for her, it's very personal because it is her father. And what the video will show is she's looking in the jail. She's looking for her dad. She doesn't know where he is. And that's what the song's about. And that would have been a common experience for, probably lots of indigenous people, especially those that were outspoken at a time where the indigenous people weren't asked to speak and weren't listened to very much.
This approach that gives a new possibilities to art and to impoverished people.
I think it's a little bit about a confluence. You know, what we are aware of now is there is no such thing as a primitive artist anymore. They're getting YouTube. We can go through the smallest village and find a cyber cafe, and people are in there, and they're looking at what's going on in the world. And now artists are able to react. We talked a little bit about Tisa's traditional dress in terms of her indigenous community, but she's also in a bustier. Her faldas are mini faldas. Her skirts are short. She's very much a part and aware of, you know, maybe something that Madonna's doing because she's seeing that and she becomes a part of it. So these artists are not just limiting the experience to where they are and what they're doing, that they're expanding on it within a bigger dialogue and a global dialogue. And that's what I think's, you know, so exciting and why I chose to you know, say this would be a fun one to look at. This would be an artist that is worth seeing, and it's not an art school artist.
SZA's popular in Uruguay. She's toured the south. I'm not sure if she went to Buenos Aires or any other places in Argentina, but she's been in 2013. She did a North American tour and checked in on the Ecuadoriano community in New York. Who are the construction workers of New York? It's the Ecuadorianos. At one point in time recently, 1 in 10 Ecuadorians was living in the United States. And there's 3 generations going on there. There's an emergent Ecuadorian-American youth that's beginning to make their own art and remember their own roots. And when SZA comes to New York, it's sensational. One of her videos has her dancing in the snow, and the audience there loves her.
Aquí estoy, una vez más, y nunca te equivoques. Yo soy
SZA Toquiza.
Teresa Buscemi, you are in the organization of this Latin America, Digital Latin America. Mm-hmm. And I like this neologism I just heard, Latin Americanity. how these all these digital resources do you think that are contributing to Latin American art?
Well, and just in hearing about how Enrique and Miguel talk about CISA's reach, it's about accessibility, and that's one of the main themes that we're really discussing through the exhibition and the symposium. And the programming is the awareness that's being brought to all around the world of the cultures that are happening and the expansion that's happening within the cultures and the awareness of folk culture and integrating more traditional aspects of culture and more contemporary aspects of culture, and how easy it is to then spread the awareness. So, like I was telling them, I easily looked up CISA's music videos on YouTube and watched them when we first heard about they were going to be part of the panel and talking about her. So that's what we really want to do, is talk about how more accessible things are becoming using technology.
What other arts will be exposed during this symposium?
So the multi-site exhibition, the main site is at 516 Arts, and then there are pieces at the Albuquerque Museum and at UNM Art Museum. They will include visual artists from Brazil, Chile, Argentina, New Mexico, and many other countries. And they will be using digital technology, interactive works, reactive works. People will be able to become part of the artworks, interact with them, become immersed in them, and a lot of them highlight Latin American cultures.
Thank you so much, Teresa Buscemi, Miguel Gandert, and Enrique Lamadrid for coming in for Espejos de Aztlán this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Cristina.